Senator Wyland, some by Senator Maldonado, some by other senators on this floor, to look at how we govern ourselves and see if we can find a more perfect democracy, that we are a work in progress, and we need those things to see the light of day and be fully debated, not only among ourselves, but with the people of California. But today is the day that we take the vote that will tell us whether we can move forward with projects underway, with our stimulus package, and really whether we can live to work together for another day. I ask you, please, whatever pledges or thoughts we may all have, and for me, this is a very difficult budget to vote for, that we allow California to survive, and I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Hancock. I'd like to recognize Senator Cox.
Mr. President, members, by the way, before I begin, and I will be relatively brief, I do, in fact, want you to know that today is Tony Strickland's birthday. He is 39, and I wanted you all to be aware of that. So later on, as we get a little less serious.
Remember, let's give Senator Strickland a happy birthday.
Wow. When we get a little less serious than we are, we can even sing happy birthday to him. And I would be remiss in reminding you on February the 20th, will be 71. I think that makes me the oldest member of this body. It may not be the wisest, but I certainly will be the oldest. You know, I was interested very much, because at my age you kind of begin to forget things a little bit. But you know, I was appreciative of the fact that Senator Calderon talked about Chicken Little. You know, Chicken Little, as you will recall, one day Chicken Little was walking into the woods when kerplunk, an acorn fell on her head. Chicken Little said, "Oh my goodness, the sky is falling. I must go and tell the king." She then ultimately met Cocky Locky, and then they met Henny Penny and Goosey Poosey, and they met a lot of people, and ultimately then it was a situation of where Chicken Little, she ultimately got an umbrella and was no longer concerned about the problem. She always carried an umbrella with her when she walked in the woods, and the umbrella was a present from the king. And if it ever went kerplunk and acorn fell, Chicken Little didn't mind a bit. In fact, she didn't notice it at all. Now, I just wanted Senator Calderon to know that I knew about that Chicken Little story. But what I want to talk to you this afternoon about is the aspect of the straw that broke the camel's back. Because you see, that's what our concern is. Our concern is the straws that are about to be added to the camel. Now, some of you may very well not know that the idiom, the straw that broke the camel's back, is from an Arab proverb, how a camel was wearing shoes loaded to its capacity beyond its ability to move. This reference to any process by which a cataclysmic failure, a broken back, for example, is achieved by seemingly inconsequential additions, a single straw. Members, this is what we're concerned about. We're concerned about this aspect of adding just some more straws to the camel's back. Now, to some degree, members, we have done ourselves a disservice. We have let the press, radio, the media, talk about the fact that we didn't have a budget and the legislature couldn't pass a budget. You just need three Republicans to pass a budget. Members, let me tell you, we have a budget. I don't know whether you know that or not. It runs to the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. We have a budget. What we need right now is a cash flow patch. And the question is, how do you go about getting that cash flow patch? Senator Strickland a few minutes ago talked about a $6 or $7 billion in savings or a spending reductions that would put us well on the way to providing that $6 or $7 billion patch. So when in fact the media comes up to you and says, when are you going to pass a budget? We have a budget. What we need is a cash flow patch. Members, let me, I'm not a CPA, but I am kind of a numbers guy. This is a $14 billion increase in taxation. And as I have reviewed the numbers, my concern is that it doesn't fix the problem. Does not fix the problem. As a matter of fact, it may very well make things worse. And my recommendation to Mr. Steinberg, the President Pro Tem, today is let's, in fact, work on getting the patch. Now, I want to give Mr. Calderon just one more little bit of information, by the way, and that's about how you eat an elephant. Interestingly enough, $41 billion is the size of an elephant. And I will tell you, you don't eat an elephant one bite at a time. You'd eat an elephant, or you eat an elephant in small bites, but you can't get an elephant eaten in just one bite. And so I encourage the President Pro Tem to recognize that what we have is a need for a cash flow patch. Not a smoking patch, it's not something like that, it's a cash flow patch. So that we, in fact, have sufficient dollars to come in so these projects, which we're all concerned about, there's not a single member on this floor that's not concerned about the possibility. And there is a way to solve it. It is to recognize that we, in fact, have a budget, and what we need is a cash flow patch. And I also need to tell you that I miss Sheila Kuehl, because she probably would understand those nursery rhymes better than anybody else here and better able to recite them than I did. But we're concerned about the camel, the straw that broke the camel's back. So I would just leave that for your digestion, recognizing that there is a way to solve this. The aspect of just eating a small bite at a time and taking the approach that we have a budget. What we need is a cash flow patch.
Thank you, Senator Cox. Senator Cedillo will be recognized.
Maggie's here. Well, that makes me hungry. That really makes me hungry. Wow, where are we? I guess everything that, what's that? Everything that can be said has been said. Not everyone has said it. It makes me hungry for what I think is the problem, the fundamental issue that has confronted this body since I've been here. And that is the challenge of leadership. The real crisis that confronts us more than anything is the crisis of leadership. Because California is the eighth largest economy of the world. And when you begin to put this discussion in that context, we begin to look at the absurdity. The eighth largest economy of the world, the richest state and the richest nation of the world, in the history of humanity, $1.4, $1.5 trillion of economic activity. And our charge here is to figure out how to play a role to manage, sustain, and nurture that economy. And so for the last 10 years, what we've done is we've taken this giant economy, this elephant of an economy, and we've bitten in small bites to undermine the foundation of this great economy. Yes, we have. We've undermined its educational system, which was a pillar. which is why businesses came here. We've undermined its infrastructure, which is a pillar of why people came here. We've undermined its public safety, which was a pillar and why people came here. We have undermined the very foundation of our economy to the point that those who are charged with being the spokespersons for business say today that we must act in favor of this budget. To the point that a icon of no taxes, someone like Joel Fox, has said we must take this action today. So what happens if the chamber says we must take this action, and a giant of no taxes like Joel Fox says we must take this? What happens is that we are failing to provide that leadership. Our challenge today is to lead, follow, or get out of the way. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Follow the voice and the will of the people of California. Because the people of California recognize that we must invest in California. The people of California have made it clear that they're committed to building our education and our infrastructure and to move this great state forward and preserve what it's accomplished. Where have they said that? Well, just in the recent election, 97 measures were brought before the people of California. 95 measures were brought before the people of California to raise bonds for education. If we don't act, they will. 90% of those measures passed. If we don't act, they will. It's time to lead, follow, or get out of the way. And then on the local general obligation bond measures, which require a two-thirds supermajority, there were 8 of them in the state of California. And 100% of those passed. It's time to lead, follow, or get out of the way. We have taken the argument today is that, well, we should just take 7 billion more bites out of this economic elephant. Some argue that government should be more like the private sector. But we cannot afford to be like the private sector. We cannot afford that instability. We cannot afford that volatility. Our schools must always be open. Our libraries must always be open. Our public hospitals must always be open. We cannot afford the volatility of the private sector. For businesses and banks and finance companies and mortgage companies come and go as people maximize profits on the whim of chasing profits before the interests of people. Government cannot afford to be like the private sector. Of course, we should be efficient, accountable, transparent, and responsible, but we cannot afford that volatility and instability. I just spoke to a police chief in Southern California. He wants us to lead, follow, or get out of the way because 10% of his workforce is awaiting our action. If we fail to act, 10% of those people will be gone. What does that mean? Those families will lose the main wage earner of their household, but those communities will be less safe and secure. We cannot afford to be like the private sector. Today, we are called to make a decision that will immediately impact 50,000 jobs, over 200 projects. Adverse impact on our economy, insecurity and instability in our communities. It's time for us to act. I want to commend the leadership, the elected leadership of both parties. I want to commend them for their courage and for taking on the challenge of leadership and accepting our delegation to them. Our choice to delegate to them the duty and responsibility of negotiations. To take it and to go into the process and to commit themselves to bring all their talent and resource, bring all their skills and capacity, and to bring their honor and their word to negotiate a resolution and a compromise to this crisis of leadership. They've risked their prestige, their standing, their job for their fellow man and woman. I commend them for their courage and for their leadership. And I ask again, it's time for us to lead, follow, or get out of the way. No longer shall we have the tyranny of the minority. It's time for us to listen to the majority and to move forward, I think.
Senator Steinberg is recognized at his desk.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Before I close and before we cast a vote, I would like to call a recess and a Democratic caucus. Thank you very much.
Members, a Democratic caucus has been called immediately, and the Senate will be in recess until such time the Democratic caucus is concluded.